Hello, this is a show from Radio. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners.
Delta 2 Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Each week we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond.
Delta 2 Yankee, Delta 2 Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Are you up for it?
Ready.
Entering the world of epilepsy, we find an unspoken landscape of humanity and a condition electrified by a single word, control. We find life in the spaces between controlled and the uncontrolled. We learn that epilepsy is pure energy alive inside us. We travel to places where this condition is known, but not spoken of. We seek to understand the human struggles that exist for control of epilepsy. We unravel the emotional responses to this condition: fear, hurt, pain, discrimination, stigmatization, loneliness, bravery, endurance, acceptance, and hope. We peer into blurred boundaries of health, science, spirituality, culture, communication, and the human experience. We travel back through our history and search into our tomorrows through the lens of science. We enter the realm of spirituality, where people go for solace and calm in order to live with their condition. We acknowledge epilepsy as one of the most persecuted health conditions of all time, and we ask how to change this fact. Epilepsy has long asked questions of our society, and time and time again, epilepsy has been silenced. This is a condition alive in people as diverse as you can imagine. When we peer into the face of epilepsy, we peer into the eyes of humankind.
When I had my first seizure, I was at kindergarten. My parents spent a lot of time caring for me. They encouraged me to take music lessons. My musical aspiration developed through piano, flute, cither, and singing lessons, all of which I still play today. But back then, I was embarrassed because of my condition. My soulmates and friends look at me differently, and I was bullied at school by other children and teachers. While at junior high school, I realized self-loathing only made things worse and that I was not the only one suffering. My family and friends felt helpless to see me so unhappy. Everything they tried to make me happy was just not working. I realized I had to turn things around for myself, so I became more involved at school. I joined CHOR and got involved in performances, and I began to take on leadership roles. Looking back to what I was before, the shy girl who felt worthless and was bullied so badly that she wanted to end her own life, has turned into an independent woman who has discovered the anchor of life and is dedicated to her goals. That girl is me. Epilepsy is no longer an obstacle, it is a hurdle on the journey of self-discovery.
Today, epilepsy is the most common serious brain disorder worldwide, with no age, racial, social, or class boundaries. With at least 50 million people living with epilepsy worldwide. And 2.4 million people diagnosed globally each year with epilepsy. Your body works because of electricity. You work because of electricity. You are electric. Your brain is incredible. There is an unseen ocean of energy inside you. Right now, it's firing, it's sparking, it's working the way it should. Following this sentence, this word, or is it this one? Over here. You get it. It's smart, fast, and functioning because of the tiny lightning storms rattling around inside your brain. Jumping from neuron to neuron. Communicating with your nervous system, your senses, allowing you to follow this sentence and this one over here. When working normally, your brain's brilliance is invisible. 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 But when the electrical storm misfires, your body notices, your mind notices, you are no longer in control. Your body begins to seize. This is epilepsy. And it takes hold of the body's electricity.
In India, people hide their epilepsy and not reveal it. It's a common situation, especially when children are sent to school or young girls and boys. When they reach puberty and are about to get married, they would hide their epilepsy and not disclose it. There are many consequences in these kind of behaviors. Despite the fact that the Hindu Marriage Act says that there is no problem with people who have epilepsy getting married. But because they hide their condition, the other family often goes to the court and file a lawsuit against their partner for cheating or deception, and it leads to all sorts of problems. Another issue in India is that sometimes when women with epilepsy are pregnant, they stop taking their medications or change their medication. Inevitably, they start getting seizures again, which is not good for someone who's pregnant for a lot of reasons related not only to the mother herself. These are common issues that we face every day that nobody discusses about. Thank you.
We live in Tusan, a village in the northeast of Klungkung in Bali. Once I was with my son, we were walking in the village, just a little bit far away from the tourist beaches and clogged downtown area. And then at some point, he started to have his seizure. Something uncontrollable. I am convinced that only divine intervention can help us in this case. So I went down the street, darting between scooters and trucks and into a volcanic black brick compound. I speeded past startled chickens, scavenging dogs, group of women waving palm leaves baskets among children playing. And then eventually I arrived at the stoop of the man I believed can help me. The Balian, or you can say the medicine man. And then the Balian followed me until I came back home to my son. He was still seizing when the Balian took his hand and held it out in front of him. And as if playing an invisible piano in the air, as he accesses his inner energy or kundalini in Hinduism, he gazed across my son's body, scanning for internal ailments. And then he consulted his book, the Bali Usada, like medical guidebook translated from sacred scripture more than a century ago by his grandfather. And then the Balian read, the muscle disease. If there's a person whose muscles begin to contract uncontrollably and they lose consciousness, then use the following remedy. Put rice, kale leaves, oil, and mix well into a paste, and then scrub the patient's skin. And then the Balian made the concoction and then rubbed it on my son's skin. And then he pressed his fingers on my son's veins. And then he stopped seizing.
In the beginning, a stone lay silent in the brain of humans. Epilepsy has echoed through all civilizations, kingdoms, cultures, and countries. It has been known by many names.
Bumal, Huani Kishya.
Morbus lunaticus,
disease of sadness,
fire of Jesus,
perditio,
Heraclea nosos,
the falling sickness,
mal de prophet,
aya waira,
breath of death,
moon curse,
sacred disease,
Saint Valentine's malady.
Society does not permit us to speak openly about things we do not understand, which is why we must, because fear and danger exist in places where we do not shine a light. Step into the brain of a person with epilepsy, and you will find unimaginable, uncontrolled events, many of which are silent, sidelined, and kept in the shadows of the stories we tell in society. But there are experiences right now happening that will cause your mind to refuse to believe your brain. Humans have been traveling there since the beginning of our species, but no one ever talks about the place. No one wants to visit either, but they go often, unwillingly, and in their millions. The place is out of control. It's a powerful territory where legends tell of curses, demons, and past lives. It's a powerful place where people report experiences, serenity. It's a place where some people experience serenity and others have nightmares. It's a place unlike anywhere else on earth. And I say this as someone who has never been, but who has spoken to hundreds of people who have. My brother went many times. The last time he did not come back. Each year, thousands go missing there, but you don't hear about it much. Sometimes there are whispers on the streets and headlines on the news, brought back by brave visitors who tell their story. The origins of the place are unknown, but it's been around forever. The atmosphere sucks as well. A sense of dread is felt constantly. There are strange, pungent smells all around. There's an ever-present feeling of imminent doom. Like the hush on a beach before a tsunami. Some say it's like the sky slipped into the ocean and the whole world submerged for a moment. Some don't say anything at all. People have seen unimaginable sights, bizarre stuff that bends the mind and is hard to describe. One girl saw peaches falling from the sky. Another saw an amorphous blob that used to chase her.
Towards the end of my teens, I began having what's commonly referred to as auras. My auras are more like a perception, or something like that. People have all kinds of auras, skin tingling, smells, and sounds. But mine was a perception. I just knew that. I just sort of knew that something was coming. I went to my doctor, but he dismissed me as they are not familiar with auras. As I was finishing university, the auras became more frequent. The auras were like deja vu, sort of perception, as I said, a sense that something was about to happen. For example, one day in my early 20s, I was sitting at the dinner table with my parents. I don't remember exactly what we were eating or what we were doing, but in that precise moment, at some point, I stopped listening to my parents. And that's when I had my first seizure. My parents panicked and called the ambulance. As I grew older, I never gained control with medication, and when it was time to come back to work, I was labelled as disabled. What I had at that time was something that we can call an uncontrolled focal seizure, which means only one specific part of my brain was affected, and that continued for some years. In 2003, my seizures changed, and I began having atonic seizures, which are completely different and lead to a complete loss of the muscular tone for a few seconds and can affect every part of your body. Now, when one falls to the floor without warning, it does cause damage. And of course, I started breaking bones. When I went through brain surgery, I found out she removed my left hippocampus. Hippocampus is part of the brain associated mainly with memory. I think that we have parts of our brain removed, but we are on an equal footing to the neurologist. Every person with epilepsy is individual, and every case of epilepsy is individual. So, what if we have epilepsy? I went out and joined a male-dominated working field in finance, and I have had a very successful career.
When I was 80 years old, I had an accident at school. I fell and hit my head on a pillar, and a month later, I started to get seizures. When I was in grade 4 at school, I had a seizure. The teachers didn't understand what was happening. They thought my epilepsy was contagious, and they forbid me from going back to school again. My family began looking for treatment for my seizures. We went through many traditional Chinese medicines. It wasn't until I was 11 years old that I began to receive anti-epilepsy medication from hospitals. I began working when I was 60 years old to help my family to pay for my epilepsy medication. But by the time I was age 21, I couldn't take the suffering anymore. So I decided I should have brain surgery to try and stop the seizures. 2 years after my brain surgery, I started having seizures again, unfortunately. In 2006, I started a blog called My Life with Epilepsy. I shared my experiences and let people know that they should avoid mythologies when treating epilepsy. They need to understand that they need to seek medical attention. In China, epilepsy is not just an illness or condition, it's a social problem. A lot of people in China still believe epilepsy is contagious. There is still a lot of stigma. It affects our family life, our psychological conditions, medical care, and education. There is a lot of work that needs to be done in these areas. There are many incidents of children forced to stop going to school because of their seizures. We feel like we need to hide our epilepsy because we are afraid that once our colleagues or employers find out, or if we have a seizure at work, that we might get fired. We try to work twice as hard as the others, and we hope by working harder, we can gain trust and recognition from others. But once we have one seizure at work, we will get fired. I hope the government can help and regulate these companies better understand epilepsy. I'm not blaming these businesses. I understand they are afraid of liabilities. They are afraid if something happens to us, they will face penalties or huge claims. However, we need the government to make incentives for businesses to hire people with epilepsy. People in China also worried that if they need to take medication over a long time, that it will be a financial burden to their family. We must correct these misconceptions through education and by giving people proper ideas and information about what epilepsy is.
This is an extract from the A Life Electric project, which is a written and visual exploration of epilepsy, which I began writing in 2018 and is still ongoing. This is a subject that is deeply personal for myself and my family, and one that has taken me on a journey to many places and many cultures around the world. We need more voices to add to the conversation of epilepsy worldwide. In 2020, it's unacceptable that stigmatization and misunderstanding can still exist. This is the result of education, and this is the main barrier that the epilepsy community faces worldwide today. It's only through talking that silence can be shattered. We need more art, we need more education, and we need people to come forward and tell their stories. I would encourage you to follow the Alife Electric project. You can find us at alifeelectric.org or through farfeatures.com/alifeelectric. I'd also like to direct people to the International Bureau for Epilepsy's website, where they have a range of services and information, education about epilepsy issues worldwide, and also to an NGO that is very important to myself and many other families around the world who have lost someone because of sudden unexpected death in epilepsy. And this is a charity called SUDEP Action, and you can find them at sudep.org. And they are a wonderful bereavement charity that can not only help answer any questions for families who have faced a bereavement because of epilepsy, but also have a range of services that are designed to help prevent deaths from occurring. And obviously that is a main priority within the epilepsy community at present, is to end deaths unnecessarily and to educate the public that this is possible and taking active steps to avoid these kind of tragedies from occurring in the first place. Thank you for your time, and let's give epilepsy finally the spotlight it deserves.
End of transmission. Find us on the internet, radia.fm. Over and out.